We started last month a series of lessons on the responsibilities that we as Christians have, and calling this series of lessons What God Wants From Us. And as you begin to think about that, the list can get rather long of all that that we know of when we come to Scripture that God wants. And we spent three classes, the first three classes of this quarter, talking about the fact that God wants your all. It's not that God will be satisfied with just whatever we give Him. God has asked for our all in everything that we do and every way that we serve Him. God wants your all. And so this morning I want us to begin looking at several of these specific things that God wants from us. And I decided to start with God wants your worship for a number of reasons, one of which is some of us, I don't think that's any of you necessarily because you're here at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, but some Christians, some Christians have the idea that Sunday worship is about all the responsibility that we need to fulfill as a Christian, and that the rest of the week is ours to do what we desire, but for some reason there's a mindset that as long as I go to the church building on Sunday, then I've got everything covered. Everything's good. And so I want us to talk about that this morning, and just talk about this mindset that God wants more than just your church attendance. And I put church attendance in quotes. God wants more than just your church attendance. There are some Christians who approach worship more like it is church attendance rather than worshiping God. Well, it's just one of those things that I attend. It's like going to school. It's like going to work. It's like the maybe some club or organization that you're a member of that, I attend these meetings, and it's important that I'm there, but, if I don't make it to all of the meetings, that's okay. There's enough people on that committee that if I'm not at all of the meetings, then they'll pick up the slack and it won't be a big deal. Sometimes we approach worship that way. That is, it's church attendance. And if I'm at most of the meetings, and if God can look at my attendance record and it looks, I've got most of the things filled in, but, it's not a big deal if I'm not there or not. Is it important for us to be at church? Yes. But if this is our approach to worship, then I ask the question, where is our eagerness to worship God? If it's just one of those things that I attend, where is our eagerness to worship God? Some approach worship as if it's just one of those things I've got to do this week. You make your list of to-dos, and many of us have them. The things I've got to do this week, and we list out the things, and it's not wrong on that list, obviously. It's not wrong to put worship. But if it's just one of those things that I've got to do this week, where's the priority? You see, worship is not just one of the things I'm doing this week. Worship is the most important thing that I get to do this week. It's not just one of the things on the, you have a list of things to do, and yet there needs to be a prioritization to those things. Where does worship fit on our priority list? Some people come to worship and they say, well, it's just something I've got to do. Now, these three things that are listed here are not necessarily bad things. To approach worship and to approach it as church attendance. Do we need to attend worship? Yes. Is it one of the things I'm doing this week? Yes. Is it something I've got to do? Yes. But if that is if that's the entirety of our motivation, then where is the privilege that we need to experience to worship God? We need to be eager when it comes to worship. We need to set it as our priority, that thing that we look forward to in the week more than anything else. And we need to recognize the privilege, the sacred privilege that the God of heaven has given to you and to me to worship Him. You can see from the inside couple pages of your handout that there are a lot of things that we're going to talk about in this point of the lesson. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on any one of them because this lesson on worship, we're not going to span it out over multiple classes. We're just going to limit it to today. But I think when you come to Scripture, you're going to find, and more than just the 18 that you've got on your handout and will be on the screen, but I had to stop it somewhere. But God gives us just a multitude of reasons for us to attend church services. You begin, in your mind, start thinking through things in the Bible. What reasons can you think of as you begin to think, okay, here's a reason that God gives, here's a reason that God gives. What reasons does God give for us to attend? And if we had no other reason, this one would be enough. We need to attend in order to worship the Lord. I want you to think about that. We have on our sign, I think it's on our sign, 9 o'clock, Bible study. 10 o'clock, worship. What is that? Is that like 1 o'clock football game? You know, is that like noon, lunch? Is it just a listing of events? What is this, Fran? Okay. Fran says, morning doesn't start off right unless you have your cup of coffee. Your week doesn't start off right unless you worship God. What is this idea of worship? You know, we list it on our service times. What does this mean? Is it just one of those things that it's like going to a committee meeting? Is it like going to work? Is it like going to school? Is it that I am an attendee? That I go there and I am in attendance? And when the teacher takes roll, present, and we're present, and God, I'm present today. Is that what this is all about? It's not about being present. It's not about attending. Jerry? There is the responsibility, and not just the responsibility, but the opportunity, as Jerry says, to remember. Remember our Creator, to remember our Savior. Nicole?
And in remembering, it's also our opportunity to thank Him for what He's done.
Yes. It's our opportunity to thank Him for what He's done. Sky? Yes. We use worship. We use worship in two senses in our language, and oftentimes we lay worship out as a noun, that it's one of those things, and yet as Skye says, and rightfully says, worship needs to be a verb, and it is a verb for Christians. And it's not a passive verb, it's an active verb. And so when we come together, we need to be not attendees and vote present. It is, I need to be an active participant. I need to be engaged in offering honor, in offering homage, in standing in awe of God. That's why I'm here. That's the number one reason I'm here. And if there were no, if we didn't have the other 17 that we're going to put here, if we didn't have them, this would be enough. That we come at the 10 o'clock hour every Sunday morning, to worship God. Why do we need to attend worship? God says it gives us an opportunity to express our love for Him. How often do you express your love for the Lord? How often do you express it in words? How often do you tell the Lord that you love Him? How often do you express it in actions? How often does he see that you love him? When you come to worship on Sunday, it's an opportunity to express our love for the Lord. How much are we supposed to love the Lord? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And that's what worship does. It gives us this opportunity to express our love for Him. It gives us an opportunity to maintain our spiritual fervor. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was talking about things that were going to take place shortly. And he talks about the fact that the time was going to come where lawlessness was going to abound. And he says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, that when lawlessness would abound, then love would grow cold. Is lawlessness abounding today? Yes. Is it possible that when lawlessness abounds, that our love for the Lord could grow cold? What causes somebody, remember, and this verse will be on the screen in a minute, but you remember the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 3 who had left their first love? What causes that to happen? What causes someone's love to grow cold? Say again? Not spending time with them. Yes. Love is a verb that requires our constant attention. Have you ever noticed that if you have a fire that's burning, and you see all of the embers, you see all of the coals that are a part of that fire. If you take one of those coals, you take one of those embers out and set it over here by itself, what happens to it? What does it do? It dies out. It grows cold, doesn't it? And all the while, the rest of the fire is just fine. Still hot, still burning. But when you're not a part of worshiping God on a regular basis, is it possible that your love can grow cold? Have you ever noticed that when someone becomes unfaithful to God, you know where that becomes most obvious? Do you know where it becomes evident that something's wrong spiritually in their life? Something's becoming weak in their life? You know where it's most evident to those who are on the outside? Their attendance. Now, it hopefully is more evident to them before that, but to those of us who are not them and we're on the outside, where do we see it? We see it when they're not attending. When you miss worship one time, is it a little bit easier to miss it the second time? When you miss it the second time, is it a little bit easier to miss it the third time? When you've missed three times, is it a little bit easier to miss four times? When you miss four, is it easier to five? And is five, is it easier to six? And when you get that far, what's easier to do on the seventh week, to miss again or to go back? Our consciences become trained in that direction. It becomes seared in that direction to the point that our spiritual fervor dies. Why do we need to worship God? One of the reasons that God gives that we need to worship Him is in order that we might maintain our spiritual fervor in serving Him. Here's what Nicole mentioned. Was it Nicole? Who said this? That we need to worship in order that we might remember our Savior. We come together as the Lord told us to do on every first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. What did Jesus say to do every first day of the week when we partake of the Lord's Supper? Do this what? In remembrance of me. Every Sunday. And it's not limited to Sunday that we need to remember. But every Sunday, the Lord has set a time where we need to remember what He's done for us. Is that going to help you maintain your spiritual fervor? Yes. Is remembering what the Lord has done, is that going to help you express your thanks, as somebody said, and express your love for the Lord? Remembering what the Lord is. It's hard to remember what He's done without expressing love for God. It's hard to remember what He's done and not express thanks to God. Isn't it interesting that the religious world has decided that partaking of the Lord's Supper every Sunday is too often, and that it will lose its meaning and it will become meaningless, and that's too often to do it. And so many of those in the denominational world do not partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday because that's too often. Dave?
The fact that it is the first day.
Yep. Dave says something similar that was said before, that, you know, on Sunday mornings you set the course for your week. And if on Sunday morning you put first things first on the first day of the week, on Sunday morning you come and you remember what the Lord has done, you have determined that that's how the rest of your week is going to go. All right, we're going to have to skip through some of these. So I hope you're taking notes on the handout. That's why they're there. There's a lot of reasons God gives to us. Another reason God gives to us is in order that we might walk in the steps of those in the early church. The early church came together on the first day of the week, every first day of the week, in order that they might worship God. When we come together on the first day of the week, now it's an opportunity for us to walk in the steps of those in the early church. We come together on the first day of the week to worship God in order to satisfy our spiritual appetites. If you have a loss of appetite physically, if you go days and days with a loss of appetite physically, that might be good for our waistline, but after a while, is that going to become dangerous? If you're not feeding yourself physically and you've totally lost the desire to eat, is that going to become troublesome after a while? Yes. Is that the same spiritually? If you lose your appetite spiritually, is that going to become troublesome after a while? Do we truly, as Jesus said, hunger and thirst after righteousness? If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, then where else would we want to be on the Lord's day? Then where there is a feeding taking place, where we truly want to go and to be taught in order that we might grow spiritually. Where we want to go in order that we might allow the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, in order that we might allow the Word of God to transform us, to change us. You're here at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning because of this. Because you have a spiritual appetite. You're here at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning because you have set the priorities in your life. You're here at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning because you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An interesting quote from Hugh Fulford, who says, "It is no accident that the strongest and most knowledgeable Christians are those who faithfully attend the services of the church, while the weakest and least knowledgeable are those who seldom or never attend the assembly of the saints." By and large, is that true?
Yeah.
Who are the strongest Christians? I'm probably looking at them right now. Because you're here, and I see most of your faces Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. And I can pretty much set a course and say you're probably going to be here next Sunday morning. How is it that the strongest members are the ones who are here all the time, but those who aren't here very often are typically weak spiritually?
They don't get enough nourishment.
They don't get enough nourishment. Say again?
Practice.
Is it critical to assemble with the saints? Is it optional? Is it, well, you know, it's not a big deal. I can take it or I can leave it. But God tells us that we get to worship Him, and when we do, we get to have fellowship with each other. That verse that we'll look at in just a minute in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and that verse is very bothersome to some people, I think. But the verse is there in the Bible nonetheless, isn't it? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. But what does the verse before it say? What does the verse before it say the benefit of gathering together and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is? Let us consider one another in order to stir one another up unto love and good works. What happens when we get together on the first day of the week? What happens when we gather together with one another? We have fellowship with one another, and we're able to encourage each other, to stir each other up for love and good works. If you're not here, can that happen? I am thankful that we have the ability to webcast our services on the internet. I'm thankful we have that ability, and I'm thankful that there are people right now, assuming our internet connection stays good, you know, today, that there are people right now that are a part of this service and will be a part of the worship service in the next hour. I wonder if God knew that technology was going to come into play at some point. I wonder if God knew that the day would come where all Christians could just sit in their pajamas at home and not have to come to a building, could sit in their pajamas at home in front of a computer, not have to get out in the cold weather, and could just stay home and worship. I'm not talking about those people who are home right now watching on the internet because they cannot get out, because they're physically unable, because they're ill today, or whatever that reason might be. I'm talking about the fact that if we have that technology, why are you here today? I see a lot of you who have internet at home. If we had that technology, and if God knew that technology was going to come, we don't need to come down here to the building. We can all just stay home and worship, right? No. God, even when He knew that technology would exist, wanted Christians. What does God want? God wants Christians to come together. Why? To worship Him. What benefit does that offer to us? Oh, a lot of benefits. One of which is the fellowship that we enjoy, which is impossible to have sitting in front of a computer. I don't care if you even have a chat room open, if you're able to sit there and chat with people. It's impossible to have when you're not here with your brethren. Nicole?
No, it just dawned on me that
Italy
supports Rome.
Sure. Right. Nicole mentions the fact that even the world recognizes the importance of that. These worldly support groups, she mentions, you know, emphasize the importance of attendance in order to encourage each other and to benefit from it. And they see it. Chuck?
David, I think you need to add verse
26
to that text.
Yeah, and that's the other side of this. This up here is specifically to talk about the fellowship that we have with each other. And so that's verses 24 and 25. Chuck says we need to add verse 26 to it, and that's important. Because 26 tells us that, verse 25 says we don't need to forsake. Well, remind me when we get to this verse again, Chuck, and we'll talk about verse 26. All right. Just do a little wave to me, all right? Wink at me or something. So here, don't wink at me, Chuck, all right? Because that's going to scare me. Somebody, yes, Betsy. Yeah. So that's a great, great example. Betsy, who's she's got a regular room down at Palms West Hospital for the various surgeries that she's had, has watched at home on a number of occasions while she's had surgery and recovering from surgeries, and she says it's not the same. It's nice, but it's not the same as being here. And those of you who are on the internet, and she uses the example, you know about receiving virtual hugs on the internet. Those are just as good as the real thing, right? I mean, if somebody just sends you a hug on the internet, that's as good as actually getting the hug, right? No, it's not even close. It's nice, isn't it? But it's not the same. Why do we need to be here? We need to be here in order to set the proper example for others. Is that true? Do you need to set the proper example for children? Ephesians 6:4. For your spouse? 1 Peter chapter 3. For non-Christians? Do we need to set an example for them? Do we need to set an example for each other? What about for our new converts, for our new members? Do we need to set an example for them? You know, it's interesting. We expect everybody else to be down there, right? Do you expect the rest of the church to be here today? Well, sure you do, because that's what you're supposed to do on Sundays. Well, if we expect everyone else to do it, shouldn't we be doing it? Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about the fact, here you are teachers and you're teaching other people to do things. Do you yourselves do that? We expect it. We need to set that example. That's part of the reason, not the reason, that's part of the reason we need to be here. We need to be here in order to be in subjection to the elders. So the Bible tells us that we are to be in subjection to the elders. Hebrews chapter 13 uses the word obey two times. Obey those who have the rule over you. We need to do it not just to be in subjection to the elders, we need to do it to be in subjection to God. You see, being here on the first day of the week is obeying the Lord's commands. Here's Hebrews chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Worship attendance from God is a command. In verse 26, what does it say, Chuck? If we sin willfully, the very next verse, if we sin willfully, after that we've come to a knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. Let us consider one another in order to stir up one another into love and good works. Verse 24. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully... What's the context of if we sin willfully? The context is, let us draw close to one another. The context is, go back up to verse 21, 22, and 23. And right there in the midst of this discussion about what we need to do as Christians to draw closer to God is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And if we do, we sin willfully. What does the word forsake mean? Does the word forsake mean I miss because I'm sick? I miss because I'm just flat, not able to be there. I'm flat on my back. I'm puking my guts out. Whatever, you know, is that forsaking? No. Folks, if you're vomiting, we don't want you here, okay? Let me say that with all the kindness and love that I can. This is not an airplane, okay? We don't have the barf bags in the pew in front of you, okay? We have attendance cards and we have songbooks, but that is not forsaking. What does the word forsake mean? To abandon, to choose something. What does verse 26 say? If we sin willfully, I make a conscious choice. I don't want to be there. I'm not going to be there. I could be there, but I'm not going to be there. That's a choice. Somebody had a hand up, and Carol.
I was just
going
to say that word forsake is tied to the word willful.
Yes.
The idea is that you choose to do this.
It's a choice. She says, as we've noted, that the word forsake is tied directly to that word willful. Jesus says, God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him. And I know it goes on, and we'll look at this in a minute. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship is not an option. It's not optional. Something that God has told us to do. Now go back to the very first slide that we had and the first things we talked about. I need to be here because do I have to be here? Am I commanded to be here to worship God? Yeah. Does it need to go beyond, I have to be here, I have to worship God today? Does it need to go beyond that? Yes. We'll get in and we'll talk about that in a minute. Let me throw all of these up here because we're going to run out of time, so I'm going to let you start copying while we're talking. Yes, because you're not going to pay attention anyway. Tasha? That's a great illustration, Tasha. The word forsake means to abandon. And Tasha points out the fact that, what about abandoned children today? When folks abandon children, we look at that as something that's is just unfathomable because they are abandoning something that they should love and love it so much that they would never abandon it. And Tasha points out that we should love worship so much that how can you ever abandon that which you love? Fran?
There's consequences.
There are consequences. When you abandon something, or if you abandon a child, are there consequences for that? Sure, you're going to get thrown in jail, right? Are there other consequences for that? Are you going, other than being thrown in jail, are you going to suffer other consequences from that? Sure you will. And we've talked about some of these consequences, that if we forsake the assembly, some of the consequences, you know, it's much easier just to continue to do so. We will become weaker. We will become less useful for our Lord. Think about some of these things. And down here at the bottom are some of my favorite. We don't have time to talk about all of these. But I need to be here to worship God because it's the Lord's day. If it's His day, I don't need to take it away from Him. I need to be here to worship God because I know that I need to be here to worship God. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. What does God tell us? Is it a sin to forsake the assembly? If Hebrews 10:26 doesn't say that it is, then James 4:17 says that it is. And I believe that they both say that it is. And I know how, and I use the word bothersome again, that it is for people to hear that, some people to hear that. They say, well, you know, you can't tell me it's a sin to miss worship. I'm not telling you it's a sin to miss worship. God is. But I think that's because we have a mentality sometimes that we put it in this school attendance, work attendance, club, committee attendance, worship attendance, and they're all, you know, it's all there and it's just attendance, it's just present. No. God has not only commanded us, He's given us the joyful privilege to worship Him. Where else would I want to be? When the Lord returns, where else do I need to be?
Bessie?
Yep. It's not that I have to be. It's not that I have to go. It is that I have to go, but it's that I get to go. What did David say in Psalm 122? I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Is that where our hearts are? Honestly. When you thought last night, I don't need to stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning because I need to get up and go to worship. Was that I was glad that I get to go to, when you got up this morning and it was 30 degrees outside, okay, or whatever it was outside, and you thought, okay, I'm going to go to worship. I'm going to put the snow tires on, put the chains around the tires. You know, I'm going to do all this. I'm going to winterize my radiator and all. Were you glad when you said this morning, it's time to go to worship? That needs to be our heart. It is a joyful privilege that God has given us to be here. The Lord Himself is here. If He's here, where else would you want to be? Does this church depend? Does the local congregation depend on Christians being here? 1 Corinthians 12 is interesting where it talks about the foot saying, well, I'm not the hand, so I'm not part of the body. Or the ear saying, well, I'm not the eye, so I'm not part of the body. I'm not necessary. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God says every part is necessary. Even those who would be considered the weakest are necessary. Even those who would be considered the less honorable are necessary because God's put every single one of them in place. What if we all had the mentality, well, I don't have to be there? What if we all had the mentality, well, the local church doesn't need me? What if we all had the mentality that said, well, it's just optional and, you know, I'm not going today because it's 30 degrees outside? We need each other. Mike? Yeah. Good point. Mike says there's a reason. From the world standpoint, there's a reason that we can fill football stadiums, isn't there? You know, how many people can you get in a football stadium? A lot. How many people were in, was it 92,000 at the Cowboy game last night? That's a lot of people. 92,000 people in one place. How many were, you know, you pick the football game. You know, you go to the Rose Bowl, you go to some of these football stadiums, you get over 100,000 people. You go to some of these racetracks, go up to Daytona, you can get nearly 200,000 people at the racetrack in Daytona. How did they give the seats away? I mean, they must give the tickets away, right? I mean, just shell out free tickets to everybody. No, they pay to go and pay big bucks to go, huge bucks to go. You know how expensive, never mind. Anyway, how much did we have a ticket charge this morning? I don't see any ushers out there. I can't remember. Did we charge to get in here this morning? I came through the side door. No, we didn't charge. We get to go to worship. Would you pay to go to worship?
No.
How much would you pay? Nicole? Yep. We get to be with each other, and just like that football game, we get to feed off of each other. God wants your worship. But God doesn't want just any. God doesn't want just any worship. The Bible talks about vain worship, talks about will worship. It talks about worship that is totally ignorant of what God wants. Nadab and Abihu were killed because their worship was unacceptable. God wants your worship, but He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to worship Him and Him only. God is spirit, and those who worship Him will worship Him in spirit. Folks, that means we need to be engaged. Worshiping Him in spirit means I'm not an attendee, I'm not just present. My heart is engaged. I'm worshiping Him in truth. I'm not worshiping Him in any way that I think might be right. I'm worshiping Him according to His Word. John? Yeah. John talks about those who go to NASCAR, or go to a football game, or go to home decorating, or what was the other one you threw out there? In case you're not into NASCAR or football, John's trying to include all of us with home decorating. I can't remember the third one that you mentioned, but he doesn't either. Huh? Fishing, yes. Sorry, Gene, I forgot fishing. That, you know, we love to be there, and we wouldn't miss it for anything. Is that where we are about worship? Dirk? Yes, good point. The price was paid for us to have the privilege to be here. Christ paid your ticket price, I think is what Dirk's trying to say. The price was paid for us to be able to worship Him. God wants your worship. He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to worship Him acceptably. But it's not just that He wants your worship. Folks, God deserves our worship. I wish we had time to write. I know you got, hopefully most of you have the handout. The book of Psalms is just full of these expressions. Is this where your heart is? Great is our God. Multiple times. He's not just to be praised. He is greatly to be praised among the people. It's as if the psalmist, although he's inspired, it's as if the psalmist just could not even put into words how much God is worthy of our praise. Here's God who's greatly to be praised above all of the people. He's to be feared above all gods. He's to be feared in the assembly. When we come to this place, we need to stand in awe of our God. Stand in awe of who He is, what He's done, everything He provides for us. His Son dying on the cross for us. We come here. It's not because we have to. Yes, it's because we have to. But it's because we have a God in heaven who deserves every ounce of energy that we can put into worship. I'm not just here. I am engaged to the point that when I leave here, I'm exhausted. Worship ought to take something out of us. Worship ought to take our energy to the point when I leave here, I feel like I have engaged in something. Not so much that I feel like I've just checked it off my list of things to do. Give me 30 more seconds, if you will, for just a second. Reason I put this lesson at the very beginning of our series, or close to the beginning, not only because of its supreme importance for us as Christians, God wants you to worship Him, but also for us to see that as Christians, God wants more than that. It is not just that I go to church on Sunday and I'm a good Christian because my neighbors don't. It's not that is the only thing that God expects out of us. It is one of the things. And it is one of the supreme responsibilities that I have as a Christian. But there's more. And that's what the rest of this quarter is going to talk about. There's more that God expects of us, and the destiny of our souls, the destiny of my soul and the destiny of your soul, depends upon how we fulfill the responsibility He's given us as Christians. I hope that when we look at the Lord's Day, we see it as the sacred privilege that it is to worship Him. And we have this longing and this yearning to be here. And as all of you have said in so many of these comments, that you wouldn't be anywhere else. And I know that's where your heart is. Let's have that same longing and yearning, and that we wouldn't do anything else, wouldn't have anything else, when it comes to every one of the other responsibilities that we have that we'll be talking about the rest of this quarter. All right, that was my 30 seconds. Got to take a break. We'll start worshiping in a few minutes.